The last Mishnah in Perek Vav, which is Mishnah Vav, says the following: Lo yivatel adam mipiria verivya ela im kein yesh lo banim. A person should not stop doing piria verivya, trying to have children, unless he already has children. And we'll see here, there's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. What is the number of children which makes you fulfill the mitzvah of pruvu? Beit Shammai omrim shnei zacharim, uBeit Hillel omrim zachar unekeva. Beit Shammai says two male children. Beit Hillel says a boy and a girl. Shnei Amar, Beit Hillel quotes a verse in Bereishis, zachar unekeva baram, that God made people a man and a woman. So too, we have to make people one boy and one girl. Beis Shammai does have a pasuk that he learns out over here, that he learns out from Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had two boys, and you see he stopped being with his wife and stopped trying to do piri verivya once he had two boys. So therefore, Beis Shammai says, I can learn from Moshe. Beis Hillel says to him, you can't learn from Moshe, because Moshe stopped having children al pi adibur, because God told him to. But for the rest of us, who God doesn't tell us specifically to stop having relations with our wives or to stop trying to have children, so we're supposed to keep going until there's a boy and a girl. The Gemara also does point out that this is on a deraisa level, but on a rabbinic level, there is a rabbinic idea, a mitzvah, to continue to have as many children as you can, because you never know how what kind of great offspring could come from the third, fourth, fifth, etc., on and on, how great the children could be. I always found it interesting that by Beis Hillel, Zachar Nekeva, and we see that one of the reasons for Pruvu is to fill the world. That's what it says in Bereishis. So what does Beis Hillel necessarily care if you give birth to a boy and a girl? Because the law of averages states that even if one guy gives birth to two boys, another guy somewhere will give birth to two girls, and everything will average out, so the world will still become populated, if the goal over here is to populate the world. But I think you see over here in Beis Hillel an interesting idea that we actually, through our mitzvot, are supposed to draw closer to God and somehow imitate God, so to speak. And since the creative act that God went through was a zachar unekeva, a boy and a girl, so too we're supposed to go through that creative act, that every individual in their lives is supposed to view themselves and see their own importance and their own role in the world as being such a level of importance that it should be in the image of God, in the path of God, and itself be a life which is full of creation. Continues on the Mishnah. Nasa isha v'shaha ima eser shanim v'lo yalda eino rishai levata girsha muteres linase l'acher v'rishai hasheni l'shahos ima eser shanim v'im hipila mone m'sha'ah shehipila. Now we're talking about a case over here of a guy who was married to a woman and they hadn't had kids for 10 years. So you say, if a man marries a woman and they're together for 10 years and they hadn't had any children, so he's not allowed to just give up on Pruvu. He has to go ahead and divorce her and take another wife. We see that this is true from the example, even though the Gemara is maybe not a proof, but we do see from Avraham such a thing, that when Avraham was married to Sarah, so they were married for 10 years, and they weren't able to have children, and then Avraham went and had children with Hagar. That also points to a couple of interesting aspects over here halachically, that Avraham and Sarah were married for more than 10 years, but we count the 10 years from when they were in the land of Israel. Because we say that maybe when they were barren outside the land of Israel, maybe the very fact that they were living outside the land of Israel was what caused them to be barren. So you can start counting again when they come to the land of Israel. Also, if there are any other reasons why these two wouldn't be having children, for example, one of them is sick, or one of them is in jail, and they're not able to have relations or be together, So that wouldn't count towards the 10 years. It has to be a 10 years where everybody's healthy, everything's good, and they're together, and they're trying to have children, and Rahman al-Atlan, they're unable. If the Mishnah continues on that if he divorces her, she is allowed to marry somebody else. That's because we don't assume necessarily that the problem lay with her. Maybe the problem lay with him. We don't know. The Bar Nora also points out that if she comes and she claims her ksuva, she's allowed to get her ksuva. Because we don't say that the marriage, that the reason it dissolved was her fault because she wasn't able to have kids. Maybe he wasn't able to have kids. So therefore, she can get her ksuva, and if she gets divorced, she's allowed to go marry somebody else. We don't assume that there's some problem with this woman in particular. Now, once she gets married again, so the second guy is also allowed to stay with her for 10 years, and he gets the same 10 years as the first guy. The Gemara points out over here that the second guy is allowed to marry her, but after the second time, the third guy, she's not allowed to go and marry a third guy. And that's the principle of chazaka. And over here, the author of our Mishnah is holding there's a chazaka in two times. There's a disagreement whether chazaka happens after two times or after three times. Over here, we see in our Mishnah, the chazaka happens after two times. So after this has happened to this woman twice, that she's with the first husband 10 years and wasn't giving birth, and the second husband 10 years wasn't giving birth, then we have a chazaka that there's something with the woman, and we won't let her get married a third time. Of course, we won't let her get married a third time. That's only to someone who doesn't have children or another wife already. But if he does, so he's allowed to go and get married to her. And then the Mishnah, this section of the Mishnah finishes off that if she has a miscarriage, so then you start counting again after she has her miscarriage. And then you start counting again from there. The Gemara does also add something very nice over here, which is an interesting side to marriage that doesn't see marriage only as having children, but also the Gemara says that and brings verses that there is a mitzvah to be married even after somebody already has children or even passes the stage where they would be able to have children, that there is a value and a mitzvah of being married in and of itself for the completion and the goal of living a life together. And we see this, lo tov yot adam levado, that in the beginning of the book of Genesis, it says by the first man, it's not good for people to be alone. Did she get married? Finishes off the Mishnah, ha'ish mitzuve al piri v'rivia av alo ha'isha. The Tanakhama holds that only men are commanded in piri v'rivia, but not women. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer al Shnehem hu Omer Vivarech Osam Elokim Vayom Elohim Pru Urvu. He says, no, it's a commandment, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says it's a commandment on both of them, men and women, because the verse in Bereishis says that God blessed them, and he said to them, Pru Urvu in the plural. Therefore, Pru Urvu goes on both of them. The Tanakhama, who holds not like that, says, it says, V'kivshua et ha'aretz. The Kivshua is written without a vav, so it's written that it looks like it's in the singular. And so they darshan out that somebody whose derech, whose normal way it is to go and be kovesh, to conquer, that's who's commanded in Piri V'Rivia, and that's a man. Or another possibility is by Yaakov, it says pre or ve in the singular. So even though over here in Bereishis, at the beginning of creation, it says it in the plural, by Yaakov, it said it in the singular. So that would be a reason why the Tanakhama wants to say over here that it's only a mitzvah on men. And that is the halacha, that it's only a mitzvah on men of Puravu and not on women. That's the end of Perek Vav. Starting Perek Zayin. The first Mishnah in Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, says, Almana lekohen gadol, Grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyot, hichnisa lo avdei melug, v'avdei tzon barzel, avdei melug lo yochlu b'truma, avdei tzon barzel yochlu, v'elu hen avdei melug, im mesu mesu la, im hotiro hotiru la, af al pi shehu chaye b'mizano san, hari elu lo yochlu b'truma. Ve'elu hen avdei tzon barzel, imesu mesu lo, v'im hotiru hotiru lo. A little bit of background over here, some of these topics we've discussed, into the idea over here to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to be talking about Truma and when slaves will eat in Truma. So again, a wife can bring two types of properties into the marriage. Those are called Nichsei Malug and Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Nichsei Malug means that they are her properties, and if they go up in value or down in value or anything happens to them, it's her problem. The husband's only right in those properties is that he's allowed to eat the fruits that grow on that field. But they are the care and the principle of the thing is fully hers. They're called Nichsei Malug because Maliga is the word used for defeathering a chicken. So too, just like taking the feathers out, that's the husband's rights in this land are, so to speak, the feathers or the fruits that grow out of the thing. That's what he's allowed to pick. He can pluck it. Nichsei Tzon Barzel means that she brings those in as part of her dowry and he is allowed to do what he likes with them. But she, as part of her ksuba, has a insurance policy on them. So we set the value for those properties when they get married. If they go up in value or down in value, it's his problem, not her problem. Whatever value we evaluated them at the beginning of the marriage, she's guaranteed should she go to collect her ksuba someday down the line. And they're called Nichsei Tzon Barzel because they're locked up like Barzel. It's like iron for her. They're locked up. The value is set. So the other thing to know over here is that a eved, a slave of a kohen, eats truma because he's what's called kinyan kaspo. He is his monetary property. He's acquired by him. And therefore, by merit of being part of the household of the kohen, he can eat truma. Of course, the wife of a kohen also eats truma. Now over here we're taking in our Mishnah a case where an almana l'kohen gadol, that we have a marriage that shouldn't be happening. There's an isser for the kohen gadol to marry an almana. Or we could take a grush of a chalutz of a kohen hedio, either way. So the woman is not going to be able to eat truma. As we saw before, the woman is a chalala, and she is not going to be able to eat the truma by being married to this man. But what about the slaves that she brings into the marriage? Would those slaves be? Because those slaves really are owned, at least in part, by the Kohen. The Kohen can still eat Truma. And so maybe his slave can still eat Truma, even though the slave came in with the wife. So here the Mishnah makes a distinction. If she brings in slaves who are Avdei Malog, who belong fully to her, and the husband's only rights in them are the fruits. Between those types of slaves and slaves which are avdei tzon barzel, that really are slaves that are considered tzon barzel, they are like the husband's, and she just sets the value at the beginning of the marriage and is guaranteed that amount should she ever go collect her ksuba. So says the Mishnah that avdei malog, they cannot eat in truma. But avdei tzon barzel, yes, eat in truma. And then the Mishnah describes what are avdei malog. It says, if they die, they die on her. It's her problem because they belong to her. If they go up in value, it's her gain. So even though the husband is obligated, says the Mishnah, to feed them, but they still are not allowed to eat truma because we see them as belonging to her. Avdei Tzon Barzel, the Mishnah describes as, if they die, they die on him. It's his problem, because he guaranteed a certain value at the beginning of the marriage to her. And if they go up in value, that's his gain. And since he is obligated in this, he's Chai Bachrayusan, it takes responsibility for whatever is going to happen in the future, they're considered like his, and then they are allowed to eat Truma. We're going to see in the next Mishnah that under normal circumstances, both types of slaves, let's say the marriage was not a marriage, which was an Isser type of a marriage of an Almana L'Kohen Gadol or a Gerusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyo, but it was a regular Bas Yisrael who married a Kohen. So we'll see that her slaves, it doesn't matter whether they're Avdei Malog or Avdei Tzon Barzel, they'll both be able to eat Truma. Over here, the Chiddush is that since the Avdei Malog are considered like they're hers, even though they are a Kinyan Kaspo of the Kohen, So we don't want them eating truma, because since she herself is not able to eat truma, because the relationship is be'isser, so too her slaves are not going to be able to eat truma. That's the end of Mishnah Aleph in the seventh parak.